There is so much in that letter, those first verses of Paul in chapter 12 of Romans. But today I want to focus particularly on the verse that has to do with what it means to be renewed, particularly to have our mind renewed. Last week we talked about what it meant to have our bodies renewed. And so as we continue this series, Body, Mind, Spirit, the focus verse for this week is, do not be conformed to this world, and you may know this one, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever changed your mind about something? Maybe, if you nod, yes. Or had your mind changed, perhaps. There's been so much in the news this week. Much of it is not so good news, right? But the story of Caitlin Ohashi, the UCLA gymnast who scored a perfect 10 on the floor exercise, has just captured my heart. Maybe you saw the amazing floor routine that she did. Evidently, it was full of moves, not all of which were categorized in the way college gymnastics sometimes keeps track of points. It's different from the Olympic gymnastics point scoring. But what really caught my attention about her was her life before this week and how she had changed her mind and changed her direction in life. When she was 15, she was a prodigy and had been earmarked and was one who had already captured 4 gold medals, including the all-around title at the U.S. National Championships in 2011. And then in 2013, she had won the All-American, the all-around at the American Cup, the all-around event. But as one article I read stated, after all this, she was only 14 years old. Ohashi was breaking down physically and mentally. As is sometimes the case, if you know anything about elite gymnastics, you know that there's a lot of pressure. I have my college roommate was a gymnast, not in the elite, but at age 9 and 10, and she would tell me it's all about the mind and just as much as it was about the body in terms of the competition. And it was a difficult time for her, and she was getting messages at age 14 in social media and everywhere that she was not good enough. And she reflected in an interview this week on Good Morning America. She said, as a 14-year-old, it's kind of hard to cope with because you're still developing as a person, and everything, of course, really impacts you. But by the time she this is going in and out, right? Shall I switch to a regular mic? Yep, just not to, yeah, there we go. It's coming. Sometimes I have heard that the CB waves or something like that can interfere. So maybe there's a truck going past or something like that. I don't know. Or I can walk out. I can find the spot, you know. We've had this happen before. Thank you, Rich. We'll just switch out real quick here. To go. Can we just give a round over here for our AV team who works hard? And Rachel will tell me if my hair is all a mess now, right? At any rate, let me get back to my story. So Ohashi, if you saw her, I invite you to go home and Google this because it's a great little interview on Good Morning America. And she talks about changing her direction and at age 18 enrolling in UCLA, stepping down, in the world's eyes, of course, from elite gymnastics and stepping into college gymnastics, which has a different set of rules and promotes a team environment. And it was there at UCLA, in this team environment with encouragement from her teammates, that Ohashi rediscovered the joy of enjoying the sport on her own terms. You can see this joy in her floor routine, but what she did was even greater than that, because she's a poet as well, and in the Good Morning America interview, we heard about her mind being changed, about herself as well. and she read a poem that she had written about herself as she had come to terms with all these negative voices that had been a part of her life. And the last two lines of the poem say, "I finally got my cake and ate it too, and today my self-hatred says it's goodbye." Friends, I don't know if Ohashi is a person of faith, but I do know that she chose to go against what a lot of people were telling her about who she should be. She chose to go against the whole culture of elite gymnastics. She made a decision to not be conformed to the voices that told her she wasn't good enough or skinny enough, as they say in the gymnastics world, or competitive enough or driven enough. And because of that decision to allow her mind and her heart, I dare say, to be changed, to take a different path, she found her joy. "Do not be conformed," Paul writes to the Romans, "to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." On Wednesday evening, I went to the eighth grade parent orientation. Some of you were there, I know, at Prospect High School. We have another one entering high school. And I was struck as I was sitting there with 500 of my closest friends in the gym, other parents and such, on how much emphasis was placed on finding a balance between life and school. Do you know this is happening in our schools today? The advice was not to sign up for every AP course that you could, just because they're offered, but to give yourself a little bit of a break. There was advice, it seems that some students think that taking a study hall looks bad on their transcript. You know, they're already thinking about what are colleges seeing. And the advice was, colleges don't see that, so take a study hall, put a little space in your schedule. And then the word from the principal that has really stuck with me, and this pertains to this verse, I will get there. He told us that 40 students at Prospect had been hospitalized this year out of around 2,100, I think it is, students. I don't know why, of course, but I can guess that many are caught up in this idea and this stress that they have to get certain grades and they have to perform and they have to look good and they have to be a certain way, and somehow they are failing. And yet, friends, it may be that we, the adults in their lives, are failing them because we have set up these impossible models of what it means to be human and forgotten the call from God to seek a different kind of success, right? Not rooted in the way the world understands success, but rooted and grounded in God. There are more complicated answers, of course, to that, so I'm not trying to make it less complex, but gosh, this verse came to my mind when I heard that. The Apostle Paul is actually writing to a group of Christians in Rome who he's been very close with. And you may know that in that time, they didn't gather in a big space like this or even a small space like this. They gathered often in homes. They were called house churches. And so it might have been 10 or 12 people sitting around a table, having some dinner, and reading together. Someone would say, "Oh, I have a letter from Paul. Let's see what he has to say to us today." And now, of course, just as then, we do need to hear these words. We have to remember that Paul was writing to individual people, but also to the group of people that he had come to know. And so his words, I would invite you just to go home and read all through Romans 12, because there's so much there. There's really just so much there. And you could pick apart each verse and find some truth and some wisdom there. But his words are geared for us in our individual lives, but also to our life together, our communal life. As individuals, part of what I think that he was saying to us and what we need to hear is that we are so often distracted by things of this world, right? Not that they are evil in and of themselves, but we are distracted by so much, and we don't take time to lay aside some of the distractions and to focus on what God may be saying to us. This quote, I sent this out in the email, weekly email this week, and it's just stuck with me. Howard Thurman, as I mentioned in the email, was a mentor to Dr. Martin Luther King as well, and a deep person of spirit. And he reminds us, our minds are so full. Just think about your life right now and see if this resonates. Our minds are so full, he writes, of all the involvements and issues and problems of our daily living. The smell of the world is upon us. Sometimes it is very hard to tear ourselves away from the things that tax us and weigh heavily upon us, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day. And yet, perhaps when we do, there is a quiet joy in us because we are privileged to withdraw, to turn aside. So as you think about, we're still in the first month of the new year, what it means for you to renew your mind, to let your mind be renewed by God this year, I invite you to think about this. Because it may be that when we do take time to turn aside from all the distractions, that we find that we need to be renewed more than we know. We may need, for instance, in our discernment, we may discover that we really do need to make that appointment with the therapist that we've been meaning to make. We may find that we really do need to write that letter to a family member that we've been meaning to write or to a friend. We may find that we need to join a small group or find some more connection in our life because we've been lonely. We may find that we simply need to turn off the TV more and pray instead, or that we need to exercise more or to quiet the voices in our head that tell us we are not enough or we do not have enough. Friends, it is also this weekend, of course, the weekend that we celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. And it just happened to be, as I was thinking about this particular text this week from Romans, I discovered in a book on my shelf, Strength to Love, that he had written a sermon preached specifically by him on these words. And in the sermon that he preached it at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, which some of you know is just a little bit down the road from where I grew up. But this was in 1956, a little bit before I grew up. Just a little bit. But in this sermon, King actually reads a fictional letter from the Apostle Paul to American Christians of the mid-20th century. And he writes in the style that Paul wrote in as well. But he specifically directs his words to Christians living in America at that point in time. And I want you to just listen to a few of the words here and see if you hear how applicable it may be to us today as well. He starts out, "I, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God," taking the voice of Paul, "to you who are in America, grace be to you and peace from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And then he goes on, "I am impelled to write you concerning the responsibilities laid upon you to live as Christians in the midst of an unchristian world. That is what I had to do. That is what every Christian has to do, but I understand that there are many Christians in America who give their ultimate allegiance to man-made systems and customs. They are afraid to be different. Their great concern is to be accepted socially. They live by some such principle as this: everybody is doing it, so it must be all right. For so many of you, morality is merely group consensus. In your modern sociological lingo, the more ways are accepted as the right ways." You can hear King, he always did those rhymes like that. "And you have unconsciously come to believe that right is discovered by taking a sort of Gallup poll of the majority opinion. How many are giving their ultimate allegiance this way? But American Christians," he says, "I must say to you, as I said to the Roman Christians years ago, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So friends, I want to invite you to think about, what are one or two things that you could do this week or in the coming weeks to change your mind, to renew your mind, to be transformed so that you can discern what is good and acceptable and perfect? And not like a perfect 10 on the floor exercise, right? Remember, perfect actually means mature or spiritually whole. We need to find ways, many of us, to be more in tune with the voice of Jesus, the voice of God calling us beloved, whether it be through prayer or exercise or more reading or less phone or better eating or better listening to one another. And as people connected to one another, we are in this together. We need to discover ways of renewing our collective mind. Can we do this in smaller groups here, perhaps at Trinity, as we talk around tables about things like human sexuality on Thursday nights, or Genesis, our stories of origin, or whatever it may be? I was reading something, and it reminded me of just how we can train our minds as well. There was a little thing I ran across on the internet about the complaint-free church. Try this for 20 days. Not that I think we do a lot of complaining here at Trinity, and actually I thought we could start with our own family, but how do we train ourselves and renew our minds to think of one another and live with one another in love? Can we do this by refusing to participate, right, in this us-them mentality we see in our world today? Those opportunities come at us in many different conversations, I dare say, throughout our week. So how do we transform our minds and renew our minds so that we are not conforming to the ways of the world? Can we do this by seeking the good for every group we are in? Family, church, school, work, retirement group, whatever it may be. I invite you just to think about one or two things that you could do. And I'll close with this brief story and just a few more words. You may have heard this before, but heard a story that there was once a man who fell off a cliff, and halfway down he caught hold of a bush and held on. As he hung high above the ground, he shouted up, "Is anybody up there?" And again he shouted, "Is anybody up there?" And a voice answered, "Yes, this is the Lord." The man yelled frantically, "Please help me." And there was a moment of silence. And then the Lord said, "Let go of the bush and I will catch you." There was another long silence as the man looked at the ground far below. And then he yelled, "Is anybody else up there?" So friends, this is a truth, that to really be renewed in the way Jesus wants us to, and what Paul is talking about, to be changed by God, is to be able to let go and to do things very differently from the way we've always done them. Caitlin Ohashi did it, and she found her joy. Martin Luther King told us to do it, and he got killed for it. But eventually, we discovered he was absolutely right. To change our mind, to be renewed, means that we let go, and to use the cliche that is true, we let go and we let God. We turn to the one who knows us by name, and we turn away. That's called repentance. We turn away from all of the evil and the voices and the negativity that would keep us from knowing that we are beloved. Maybe you know that Precious Lord, that we're going to sing in a few minutes, that song was sung at Martin Luther King's funeral. It was evidently one of his favorites, and Mahalia Jackson sang it at his funeral. And the words are, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand." The promise of God is that God will indeed take our hand, that God will catch us when we fall, that God will draw us up out of the miry pit, as Psalm 40 says, and that God will put a new song in our mouth. God is in the business of making all things new, our world, our nation, our mind, our body, our spirits, our church, our families, you and me. May it be so. Amen. So let's sing that song together. "Precious Lord, take my hand." I invite you, as you feel led, it's not exactly an altar call because we're Methodists, right? But I do invite you as you feel led. I'm joking about that, of course. I do invite you as you feel led to come and pray at the altar during the song. If there's something particularly on your heart that you want to recommit to God. Let us sing and let us pray.